There it is. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. Friday at 5 p.m. is when we are here to do our How Music Changed series. We, that's myself, Tom Ryan, and my lovely wife, co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. Hey, babe.
Hi.
How's the board doing? Have been treating you okay over there?
I think it's okay.
Excellent. Good. Ready to hear some Cole Porter music? We've been doing this now for, 7 weeks. We've been working our way through.
Wouldn't this be the 8th week?
Yeah, this is week number 8. So we did it 7.
Oh, okay.
And when this is complete, I'll say we did 8.
Okay.
But we're doing all these songs in alphabetical order as opposed to chronological order. Usually with the How Music Changed series, they're very steeped in history. And it's great to see how artists develop and change. In this specific case, though, I figured since we're discussing a songwriter, having his work get mixed up a little bit might be a little bit more fun. And I think it's working. I might end up doing something like this again for for another songwriter when the time comes. But right now, we've played 7 hours worth of Cole Porter music, 7 one-hour shows. This is show number 8, and we are up to the letter N, as in Nancy. Today's show is brought to you by the letter N. And where does this bring us? Let's see. In the late 40s, after the war, Cole Porter's career got a bit of a boost after a bit of a dry spell, too, because when he came out with the show Kiss Me, Kate. Porter was so happy with that show. He there's a letter that he wrote to his mother around that time saying, "I doubt if I shall ever retire, as I can't imagine living happily without my work." So when that show basically came to its end, he immediately jumped into a new project. And that was at first titled Cloudburst. Then they changed the title to Heaven and Earth. And ultimately, when it finally hit the theaters, it was called Out of This World. Unfortunately, it didn't do so well. It proved to be, it closed after just a little bit over 150 performances on Broadway. Not terrible, but not up to the normal quality, or at least, popularity that a lot of Cole Porter's other shows were entitled to. A lot of people thought that the script itself was, quote, a library of second-rate operetta routines, according to the New York Times. But it had some great songs, and singing in one of the lead roles in the show was a singer by the name of Charlotte Greenwood from the original cast performance. They actually recorded this on New Year's Eve, 1950. And here she is performing her version from that show of a song called Nobody's Chasing Me on 90.3 WHPC.
The breeze is chasing the zephyr. The moon is chasing the sea. The bull is chasing the heifer, but nobody's chasing me. The cock is chasing the chicken, the pee-wee, some wee-pee-wee. The cat is taking a licking, but nobody's taking me. Nobody wants to own me, and I object. Nobody wants to phone me, even collect. The leopard chasing the leopard, the chimp, some champ chimpanzee. The sheep is chasing the shepherd, but nobody's chasing me. Nobody's chasing me. The flood is chasing the levee. The wolf is out on a spree. The Ford is chasing the Chevy, but nobody's chasing me. The bee is chasing Hymettus. The queen is chasing the bee. The worm is chasing the lettuce. But nobody's chasing me. Each night I get the mirror from off the shelf. Each night I'm getting queerer, chasing myself. Ravel is chasing Debussy. The aphis chases the pea. The gander's chasing the goosey. But nobody's goosing me. Nobody, nobody's chasing me. The llama's chasing the llama. Papa is chasing mama. Monsieur is chasing madama. But nobody's chasing moi. The dove each moment is bolder. The lark sings Ich liebe dich. Tristan is chasing Isolde, but nobody's chasing mich. Although I may be Juno, believe it or not, I've got a lot of you know, and you know what. The clams are almost a mixin'. The hams are chasing TV. The fox is chasing the vixen, but nobody's vixen me. Nobody, nobody's chasing me.
There you have it, a rather unusual forgotten song, pretty much forgotten at this point in time, actually, sung by Charlotte Greenwood from the original Broadway soundtrack. Song entitled Nobody's Chasing Me. Now, Porter's career ran all the way into, up and into the mid-50s, even a little bit beyond that. He had taken a long break from doing film scores, but in 1956, he was asked by Sol Siegel, the producer of the film High Society, if he would be interested in scoring the music for the film. The problem was, well, first of all, it was 8 years since Cole Porter had done that. Secondly, Cole Porter, you know, learns that the film is going to be essentially a jazz film, and Louis Armstrong is in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And Cole Porter literally felt as though he knew next to nothing about jazz, although he lived
irony.
It's so odd. I mean, he lived through that entire era, but he was part of the great American songbook, a songwriter who would write songs that some of the best jazz players in the world would eventually interpret and put out awesome jazz recordings of his material. But he himself, it didn't work the other way around. He didn't really get it much. So he actually, when he learned that Louis Armstrong was in the film, he knew that he would have to write a jazz number for the soundtrack. So he called up Fred Astaire, and he asked him if he would like to attend one of Norman Granz's shows, Jazz at the Philharmonic, which was very popular around that time in the mid-50s. In fact, there are some fabulous recordings of exactly that, one of, you know, Granz's shows for Jazz at the Philharmonic. So then, after the show, he ended up calling up Granz on the phone and asked Granz if he could give him a little bit of information, an introductory course, in a sense, of jazz and of jazz terminology. And it was that conversation that brought Cole Porter to the point where he wrote this song entitled Now You Has Jazz. This is the stereo film version then, featuring both Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong on 90.3 WHPC.
Dear gentlefolk of Newport, or maybe I should say hats and cats, I want you to lend an ear because, I want you to hear some really shimmering sharps and flats. For these cozy virtuosi, just about the greatest in the trade, are fixing to show you now precisely how, or approximately, jazz music is made. Well, you take some skins, jazz begins, and you take a bass. Man, now we're getting someplace. Take a box, one that rocks. Take a blue horn, New Orleans born. Ah, you take a stick with a lick. Take a bone. Ho, ho, hold the phone. Take a spot, cool and hot. Now you have jazz, 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 jazz. A little don't sound. Oh, that's positively therapeutic. Now you have jazz, jazz, jazz. Messrs. Hall and Young. That's Ed Hall. And Trumia. Now you has Messrs. Kyle and Shaw.
At Billy Kyle. Arvel Shaw.
Now you has Mr. Barrett Deans. Listen to, well, you know who. Hey, Pops, you want to grab a little of what's left here?
Yeah, Daddy, yeah.
Here we go. If you sail.
I sail in, sailing.
Over the sea.
Or will you wait for me?
Take my tip, they're all mold of hip in Italy.
Oh, well, I've reduce as for France.
Oh, I know you're very big there.
Yes, believe it or not.
I do believe, I do indeed.
The Frenchmen's all prefer what they call les jazz high.
Pull me down, take a plane.
Oh, Baba do sad.
Go to Siam.
Baba, yeah.
In Bangkok today, round the clock, oh, well, they all like to jam.
Baba do the jazz.
Indians on.
Oh, Baba do it.
The Amazon.
Oh, Baba do that.
Beat one bar and all of them are.
Oh, well, gone, man, gone.
From the equator up to the pole. Everybody winging, everybody singing that rock, 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 rock and roll. From the east to the west, from the coast to the coast. Jazz is king, jazz is the thing the folks dig most. Jazz.
There you go.
Pops snuck in at the very end.
I got it. I mean, it's why I do this. You know, just the sound of Louis Armstrong's voice.
You just went to your happy place, didn't you?
Always takes me to my happy place. I should mention that it was a while ago now, a few years back, one of our How Music Changed series, we did a very long series of shows dedicated to Louis Armstrong. I believe there was something like 25 of them. We spent about a good half year on Lewis. And that was one of the most fun half years of radio I ever did. Not only because I loved doing the show itself, but doing the research for the show, going deep into Louis Armstrong's catalog, was just fabulous for me. I loved it. I became, maybe not an expert, but I became somebody who certainly became incredibly familiar with his entire career. Fell in love with it all. But the early stuff just floors me, still does. But even later on, in this period, in the early 50s, he's still brilliant, and he sounds so lively next to Bing Crosby. Bing does a great job, very respectful, I tip my hat to Bing Crosby as well, but the second Lewis comes in with his horn and then opens his mouth, it's like somebody turns on the lights. Fabulous. All right, then, we're playing our way through the songbook of Cole Porter alphabetically. That was Now You Has Jazz, which is the last of our N songs. So now we're going to move on to the letter P. And there's only one that we're going to feature.
No O songs?
No O songs at all. And only one P song happens to be called The Physician. Now, not everybody tends to think of Cole Porter as a writer of sexual songs. In fact, I don't think almost anybody does. But the truth is, he adds so much sexual innuendo into a lot of his lyrics that it's stunning if you listen closely enough. In 1933, they did a show called Nymph Errant, and it featured none other than the legendary Gertrude Lawrence in a role in the film. And she sings this song called The Physician, which is essentially her basically getting upset that her doctor is only interested in her in a medical way. This is obviously written before the censors began to take things over in the late 40s and early 50s and start editing things to smithereens. Here, Cole Porter at least got to utilize his wit. Here then, from Nymph Errant, is Gertrude Lawrence performing The Physician on 90.3 WHPC.
Once I loved such a shattering physician, quite the best-looking doctor in the state. He looked after my physical condition, and his bedside manner was great. When I'd gaze up and see him there above me, looking less like a doctor than a Turk, I was tempted to whisper, "Do you love me? Or do you merely love your work?" He said my bronchial tubes were entrancing. My epiglottis filled him with glee. He simply loved my larynx and went wild about my pharynx, but he never said he loved me. He said my epidermis was darling and found my blood as blue as could be. He went through wild ecstatics when I showed him my lymphatics, but he never said he loved me. And though no doubt it was not very smart of me, I kept on racking my soul to figure out why he loved every part of me. And yet not me as a whole. By my esophagus he was ravished, enthusiastic to a degree. He said 'twas just enormous, my appendix vermiformis, but he never said he loved me. He said my cerebellum was brilliant and my cerebrum far from NG. I know he thought a lot of my medulla oblongata, but he never said he loved me. He said my maxillaries were marvels and found my sternum stunning to see. He did a double hurdle when I shook my pelvic girdle, but he never said he loved me. He seemed amused when he first made a test of me to further his medical art. Yet he refused when he fixed up the rest of me to cure that ache in my heart. I know he thought my pancreas perfect, and for my spleen was keen as could be. He said of all his sweeties, I'd the sweetest diabetes, but he never said he loved me.
That song cracked me up. Gertrude Lawrence singing The Physician. All right, then, as we move alphabetically, there were no O's, so that was the only P song, and I guess it's relatively understandable that there would be no Q's either. which finds us moving on to the letter R. And another relatively obscure song called Rap Tap on Wood, meant to be a double entendre. Of course, the rap meaning sort of like knocking on wood for good luck. But of course, this is the age of tap dancing, which of course is another way to tap on wood. The singer of this track, let's see, well, what this actually goes, this is from a show called Born to Dance, actually. And it's a film that, if I have this right, let's see. Yeah, the film was meant to star Gertrude Lawrence. Her role goes all the way back. She was a film star from the 20s, but the show Born to Dance was meant to be a highlight for Eleanor Powell, the famous dancer. And in fact, in the film, in 1936, when it came out, it was Powell who sang the song in the film. However, Frances Langford played another role in the film, and she actually recorded the song just before the movie came out. Very sneaky, Frances. But she got her version out, released, and she ended up having a reasonably sized hit with her recording of the song from that film. Here then is Frances Langford's version of Rap Tap on Wood on 90.3 WHPC.
If you want to ring the bell, not once but twice. If you want to roll and roll those lucky dice. If you want to spend your journey's end with sweet music and love. If you want to lick this world of men and Mickey Mice. Take my advice. When you sit down one day, look over yourself and say you're very good. Rap, tap on wood. When you have such success, your conscience that you impress the neighborhood. Rap, tap on wood. When every meal you take is made of milk and honey. When every stock you stake is making mints of money. When every heart you break is such a cinch, it's funny. Careful, Sonny. Rap, tap, rap, tap, rap, tap, tap, rap, tap, tap. You'll knock out and you're good news, and you'll never, never lose if you just put on your dancing shoes and rap, tap on wood.
Right then, rap, tap on wood. Well done, Frances Langford. Counting our way, well, alphabetically, can you count alphabetically? Through the work of Cole Porter, around the letter R here. And this next song is from the 1936 show, Red Hot and Blue. It was a showcase for Ethel Merman. Cole Porter loved Ethel Merman. She had been on the previous show, Blow Gabriel Blow, and she had this way of belting out those closing numbers that were just, at the time, were considered to be so awesome. Now, we have featured the vocal expertise of Ethel Merman on this series, I'd say maybe three times already. So I figure maybe rather than play playing the Ethel Merman version from 1936, it would be interesting to hear how the song had grown and was able to change into a jazz number. Who is more different vocally from Ethel Merman than, say, Peggy Lee, who has that smoky contralto, where she always sounds almost like too bothered to care. But there's a beautiful way that Peggy Lee has of basically pulling a song off and adding her own, like, je ne sais quoi, as you could say, with that little whispered, with the way that she could whisper a vocal and control the emotion and let the band do the, basically cut the tune. It's a great version, a great modernization of an old song recorded in 1958, May of 1958, with Jack Marshall basically directing. Here she is, Peggy Lee, with Ridin' High.
Life's great, life's grand, future all planned. No more clouds in the sky. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Someone I love, mad for my love. So long, Jonah, goodbye. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Floating on a crazy ceiling, doting on the cards I'm dealing, gloating because I'm feeling oh, oh, so, so happy. I'm slap happy. Ring bells, sing songs, blow horns, beat gongs. Our love never will die. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Songs, blow horns, beat gongs. Our love never will die. How am I riding? I'm riding high. How am I riding? Ooh, how am I riding? How am I riding? I'm riding high.
There you have it. We were saying about, you know, Cole Porter not necessarily being particularly familiar with jazz, but there's a fabulous swinging version of Ridin' High sung by the fabulous Peggy Lee. Now, speaking of styles that Cole Porter isn't familiar with, I would say that Cole Porter is about as far away from a rock and roller as a human being could possibly get. But this song has got a very interesting lineage that we're going to cover here. Of course, in the 30s, Cole Porter worked a tremendous amount of shows with Fred Astaire. And by 1941, Fred Astaire had moved on, and Fred Astaire stopped doing musical shows on Broadway. So they had been separated from one another for a very long period of time, until 1957, when it was decided that they would make a film version of his show Silk Stockings. And they asked Porter to come in, and basically he had written the songs for the original Broadway show, so they asked him if he would basically come in and handle the music for the film. 16 years later now, from 1941, it's now 1957, he's reunited with Fred Astaire. It almost didn't happen because Fred Astaire felt that it was ridiculous that he was going to play a romantic lead at his age in the year 1957. But they said, don't worry about it. We can change the script. We can change the choreography. We'll make it work. So he ended up starring in the film with Sid Charisse as the romantic interest. There were 11 songs from the original stage score that were saved and used in the film, the 1957 film version, 11 of them. But to update the show, Cole Porter figured he'd bring in a couple of new ones. So what was funny is Fred Astaire issued him a challenge. Fred Astaire said, you know what? I'm always performing in a top hat, white tie, and tails. How about I do that, but I sing a rock and roll song? That would be completely new for me. I can't even imagine Fred Astaire asking if he could sing a rock and roll song. But he did. And the idea was so bizarre to Cole Porter. He didn't even know, like, how would I even begin? What he actually ended up, this is typical Cole Porter, he started to collect a bunch of rock and roll records and listened to them and then set about writing a song for the movie in the rock and roll genre. This is it. It's called The Ritz, Roll and Rock on 90.3 WHPC. Hold on to your hats.
Since the smart set took it on, because they found it much too tame, they jazzed it up and changed its name. And all they do around the clock is the Ritz, roll and rock. You see big bucks tugged out in tails, wing dinging with expensive quails, while dowagers and diplomats behave like Bally Alley cats. And all they do around the clock is the Ritz, roll and rock. These fancy fops and fillies throw swell affairs. They make those hick hillbillies look like squares. It's been at least a year, they say, since any of them hit the hay. And all they do around the clock is the Ritz, roll and rock.
You asked me when I started this series if Cole Porter had ever written a rock and roll song. I would have laughed. Or for that matter, if Fred Astaire ever sang one, you know? But there it is.
Well, I mean, it is a bit Pat Boone singing rock and roll.
Of course.
But,
of course.
Know.
But the fact that they even ventured into that territory
at all.
They
were willing to try.
And that Cole Porter wrote it.
Yeah.
Amazing. The Ritz, roll and rock.
It's how wealthy people rock.
Exactly. From 1957.
It's all he knows.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all about the upper echelons of society rocking and rolling. On previous shows, we've been reading from a very, very, very short biography about the life of Cole Porter, reading just about a paragraph or two for each show to move through segments of his life. We left off last week in the mid-30s with him being one of the most successful and wealthy entertainers in the world. Basically, as you mentioned, he was actually, you know, known for traveling equipped with his own paintings, linen, china, and silverware wherever he went. Got to be rich to do that. So let's pick up from that point. In the mid-1930s, he took up temporary residence in California to write the scores for two spectacular MGM films, Born to Dance, which we just played an excerpt from, I believe, with that Francis Langford song, and Rosalie, 1937. He was intrigued and amused by the glitter and go of the film industry and its accompanying social life, but Linda Porter, his older wife, could not abide the gaudy carnival atmosphere of Hollywood. Her distaste for his movie friends and associates, coupled with an increasingly troublesome lung ailment, impelled her to return alone to their home at 13 Rue Monsieur in Paris. Porter made a brief and unsuccessful trip to the continent to effect a reconciliation, then returned to New York in October of 1937 to begin work on a new stage musical called You Never Know, which was to star his friends Clifton Webb and Libby Holman. Shortly after his arrival, he went to Long Island for a weekend retreat at the home of Countess Edith de Zeppola, where a riding party that he organized met with dire results. His horse, scared by a high clump of bushes in its path, reared and fell on him, crushing both his legs. His doctor immediately contacted Linda Porter in Paris and recommended amputation. After a consultation with Kate Porter, his mother, Linda decided that such drastic measures would destroy Cole's spirits and that every effort must be made to save his legs. Despite the best of medical care, including nearly 40 major operations, which ensued over the next 20 years, he would be crippled and in constant pain for the rest of his life. The careless gaiety of his youth was over. Talk about a turning point in somebody's life. Goes from riding high to basically having to go around on crutches pretty much for the rest of his days. Now, I believe we touched on this earlier. Silk Stockings was a musical with the book written by George Kaufman and Louine McGrath. And A. Burroughs. Of course, Cole Porter provided all of the music. This was a story based on the story Ninochka, about, again, a Russian having to come to some Western country where she is going to basically try to convince everybody about the stridency and the importance of the Russian way, but eventually begins to learn an awful lot about capitalism herself. Thus, where Silk Stockings come in. There was a love song in the film. I'm sorry, in the original cast. But this is actually not a film version, but it was a version that was sung by one of the people who was considered, a competitor of Frank Sinatra for a while there. If you remember Vic Damone, this is his version of the song, the title song from Silk Stockings. On 90.3 WHPC.
So the dream was doomed to die. So it's over, dear. And you sent a sweet goodbye with a souvenir. Silk stockings, I touch them and find the joys that remind me of you. Silk stockings that give me again your shy laughter when they were new. Silk stockings, what bliss they recall, when love promised all forevermore. soft and so sheer. The dear silk stockings you stockings, so soft and so sheer, the dear silk stockings you
Vic Damone, so close to Sinatra and yet so far away in so many ways. Not really played very often anymore, I guess.
Beautiful, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he's obviously a very talented singer. But I guess, you know, certain stylists have managed to age incredibly well. For some reason, you know, that didn't work out as well for him. Now, I just mentioned two songs ago. Actually, we were talking about the Ritz Roland Rock. That was, yeah, two songs ago, that there was a 16-year gap between when Fred Astaire and Cole Porter had worked together from 1941 to 1957 when they recorded that rock and roll song.
Uh-huh.
Well, now we're going to go back to that very film that dated from 1941. It was called You'll Never Get Rich, and it featured Fred Astaire in the title role with Rita Hayworth, the incredibly gorgeous Rita Hayworth, as his co-star. And in the film, Fred Astaire sings a track called Since I Kissed My Baby Goodbye. What's amazing about this is that Fred Astaire is teamed up with the Delta Rhythm Boys, giving this song this incredible gospel blues feel. It's almost as if Cole Porter wrote an Appalachian folk song. It's so cool with Fred Astaire singing it. Here is Fred Astaire and the Delta Rhythm Boys singing Since I Kissed My Baby Goodbye on 90.3.
Evening creeping down the mountain wakes up Mr. Firefly. Bullfrog sitting there starts a croaking, but I don't care since I kissed my baby goodbye. South wind shakes the old magnolia. Moon man lights the dingy sky. Stars start sprinkling gold on the river, but still I'm cold since I kissed my baby goodbye. Since my baby and me parted company, I can't see what's the diff if I live or I die. Oh Lord, I'm taking such a beating, I'm no good, even cheating, since I kissed my baby goodbye.
Evening creeping down the mountain wakes up Mr. Firefly. Bullfrog setting there starts a croaking.
talking, but I don't care since I kissed my baby goodbye.
South wind shakes the old magnolia. Moon man lights the dingy sky. Stars start sprinkling gold on the river, but still I'm cold since I kissed my baby goodbye. Since my baby and me parted company, I can't see what's the diff if I live or I die. Oh Lord, I'm taking such a beating, I'm no good, even cheating, since I kissed my baby goodbye.
Since I kissed my baby goodbye.
I wouldn't have even guessed that that was Fred Astaire. Very cool. Since I kissed my baby goodbye. What a flavor in today's shows. We're not playing this show. It's alphabetical, so it's really luck of the draw. But this show is not featuring a tremendous amount of his big hits. But we are hearing a huge amount of variety in the style of Cole Porter in this show. That's for sure. Let's keep going. By the way, let me remind you, you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHPC. 90.3 WHPC, that is. I'm Tom Ryan with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. We're here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6. And if you're interested in this series or maybe some of our others you want to go a little bit deeper and investigate, please do. We'd love to have you visit our website, have you stop by. That's AmericanHitNetwork.com. Or just search on the name of our show, American Hit Radio.
Come by and stay a while.
Yeah, please do. All right. Now, firmly ensconced in the letter S, we move on to a song called So In Love, which was made popular originally in Kiss Me, Kate, which opened on Broadway in 1948. In that show, the song was actually performed twice by Patricia Morrison and later by Alfred Drake, the two leads. A couple of years later, Patti Page recorded a version of it as a single, as a 78, and had a hit with it on Mercury Records. Then, not quite a decade later, Gordon McRae recorded a version of the song. And here then is his version. I think it's interesting to note, this is, again, we always talk about that, you know, major to minor thing that Cole Porter had, put into lyrics.
For.
Yeah, that it's one of his songs that lyrically, but he also does it an awful lot. This is one of those major minor songs, So In Love, on 90.3 WHPC.
Strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close to you, dear, the stars fill the sky, so in love with you am I. Without you, my arms fold about you, you know, darling, why so in love with you am I, in love with the night mysterious. The night when you first were there, in love with my joy delirious, when I knew that you could care. So taunt me and hurt me, deceive me, desert me, I'm yours till I die.
song is performed by so many people over the years. It's stunning. But there's two versions that I would like to point out. Unfortunately, I don't have time to play them, but it'd be interesting to at least mention them. The 1990 album called Red Hot and Blue, which was basically a collection of Cole Porter songs performed by contemporary artists. K.D. Lang did a very interesting version, beautiful version of that song. And even more contemporary than that, if we move up to the year 2004, none other than the Brazilian genius Caetano Veloso recorded a song on his album Foreign Sound. So if there's time left on the last show, I might go back to consider playing that, depending on when we play our last, because I believe we're going to wrap this up in about 2 weeks. We'll see how much time is left. But we've got time for about two more here. So next song alphabetically that comes up, oddly enough, is yet another song that was originally introduced by Fred Astaire from the 1941 film You'll Never Get Rich. I'm sorry, Fred, but you've had your quota for today's show. So we're going to let somebody else sing this one. In 1971, Bobby Short was one of the better interpreters of Cole Porter's music. He released a double album dedicated to some of his lesser-known songs. And it's from that album that I've called this version of the song So Near and Yet So Far.
I so often dream we might make a team, but so wild a scheme I must banish. For each time I start to open my heart, you vanish. We might find some isle where lotuses smile and the days beguile going native. But how can we go unless you are cooperative? My dear, I've a feeling you are so near and yet so far. You appear like a radiant star. So near, and then again so far. I just start getting you keen on clinches galore with me. When fate steps in on the scene and mops up the floor with me, no wonder I'm a bit under par. When you're so near, and yet so far.
Cha-cha ending.
Right. Just enough time to squeeze in one more, though, Heidi, so let's get this started right away. The classic Too Darn Hot, as performed by Ella Fitzgerald on 90.3 WHBC. I hope you enjoyed our show. We'll see you next week, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, cause it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to cool with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, cause it's too darn hot. According to the Kinsey Report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Pants for romance is not, cause it's too, too, too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too, too darn hot. Baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, cause it's too darn hot. According to the Kinsey Report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Gob for his squad, a Marine for his queen, a G.I. for his cutie pie is not, cause it's too, too, too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too